Well, good morning. It's good to be able to study the Word of God, and we are thankful that you are tuning in, and we want to welcome our O'Neill family and others who may be tuning in. We sure miss being able to assemble together, and we miss seeing everyone's face, but we're thankful that we can still study together through this medium, and we hope that you are taking the time where we're confined to study the Word of God and to grow closer to Him. Before we begin our study, if you'll bow with me, we want to say a word of prayer. Our Father who reigns in heaven, we bow before you with grateful hearts that we can approach your throne of mercy and grace, that we can come before you with our petitions, and that we can turn to you in time of need. We pray, Father, for each and every one of the family here at O'Neill. We pray, Father, that you will bless them. We pray that you'll be with those who are sick and those who are enduring hardship at this time, that you will comfort them and that you'll restore the health to those who are suffering. We're mindful of our nation and the world round that's facing this pandemic. We pray, Father, that through your word and through your will that we can hold on to our faith. And we pray, Father, that there will be a vaccination soon and that the people who are suffering with this virus will be able to be healed. We pray you're with the families who are suffering, who have lost loved ones due to this pandemic. We pray, Father, that you help us to lean upon you and not upon our own understanding, and that our faith is strong even in the midst of great adversity. Help us, dear Father, to look to your Son, and through him have strength. This we pray in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to 2 Samuel and the 23rd chapter, I want to read with you verse 10 for the thought of our study. In verse 10, the divine word said, "He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder." At this time, you'll find David had what is identified as mighty men of valor. And one of the great generals under King David was a man identified as Eliezer. And you'll find in verse 9 that the Philistines opened battle against him while his troops retreated. Here you find a man who's willing to stand up even though all of those who were supposed to stand with him fled. The cowards fled under the battle, but Eliezer and three soldiers went into the battle, and notice the Bible said they swept the field. For four men with God on their side are much stronger than a whole regiment with God against them. And Eliezer, having swept the field, throws himself on the ground to rest. But notice the Bible says the muscles of his hand have been so long bent around the hilt of the sword that it is embedded into his hand. And there's the statement that you'll find his hand, as it says in the King James Version, clave unto the sword. I like that statement. Here is a man who's engaged in what we might call magnificent battle. And he goes up against the enemies of God and his hand clave unto the sword. I believe from this event, there are some great lessons that we can apply to our life. When we look at Eleazar and we look at that man holding on to the sword with a tight grip, there are things that we can apply spiritually. The first thing I want us to think about is that we have a sword. That God has given us a sword to fight the enemy with. And the sword ought to be in our hand, and the sword is the Word of God. If you take your Bible and turn to the Ephesian letter and the 6th chapter, you'll remember that at this time the Apostle Paul is telling the people at Ephesus that make up the family of God that they're to put on the whole armor of God, that they are to put on the breastplate of righteousness, they're to put on all these things so that they're able to stand against the enemy. But if you take your Bible, notice what else God gives us in verse 17. He said at the latter part, He has given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So while I put on the whole armor of God, one thing I must remember is that the weapon of offense God has given me is the Word of God. And so one thing I need to keep in mind is that I need to keep a tight grip upon the Word of God. If you take your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter and the 4th chapter, the Hebrew writer said that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice that the Hebrew writer talks about how sharp the Word of God is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when I look at the Bible, the Word of God, I realize God has given me a sword. He's given me a weapon. And the Bible is the instrument of God. He's preserved through all ages. And the book is opposed to all that is evil and stands for all that is right. That I can take my Bible and I can have a firm grip on the sword just as Eliezer did. In our day and time, I'm fearful that too many people have a loose grip on Scripture. And they're not holding tight to God's Word. And when we do not hold tight to what God has given us and we have a loose grasp, then my friend, it's easy to wander away from the truth. But Eliezer, when he held to the sword, he clave so hard that his hand was embedded. I've often wondered if we hold that tightly to the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when Paul was writing to the church, or was writing to Timothy in that second epistle, notice that he makes a statement in verse 16. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So this much I know thus far, that God has given us a sword, and the sword is the Word of God. But the second thing I want us to think about is that when you keep a tight grip on the Word of God, that it implies several things. First of all, a tight grip means forgetting self. When I look at the hand of Eliezer, I see the spirit of forgetting self. He had gotten so involved in the battle that he did not notice the sword eating into his hand that deeply. And I think in order for us to put a firm grip on the Word of God, we must learn to be self-denying. If you take your New Testament and look in the book of Matthew and the 16th chapter, you remember that Jesus said in verse 24 that if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is the action of denying self. Here was a man who held so tightly to the sword, he forgot self. And you know that's true for us today, that if we hold tightly to the Word of God, and if we hold firmly to the Word of God, we will deny self. This often means that I must deny even family desires. You remember what Jesus said when he was speaking in the book of Matthew and the 10th chapter. He said in verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And then he said, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Jesus is saying that you must deny self. You must deny your desire and put Him first. And that means we put the Word of God first. We put Christ first. Now then, this means that I must not desire worldly claim or prestige. That I am trying to please God, and I am not worried so much about pleasing man. Open your Bible to the Galatian letter and the first chapter. And when you come to Galatians chapter 1, notice what Paul said beginning at verse 6. He said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." Now watch what he says carefully in verse 7. "Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Now some translations say twist. Paul is troubled that they are turning away from the gospel and that they're perverting the gospel. But notice in verse 8 he said, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed." Then notice again in verse 9 the repetition Paul makes to emphasize his point. "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Now look carefully at verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." You know what that means? That means that I must be about pleasing my Heavenly Father. I deny self and I hold tightly to the Word of God. This means that the young must be willing to deny pressures of others in order to take a firm grasp upon the Word of God. And there's no doubt this is the reason that so many do not have the firm grip on the Word of God. They put self before God. But that brings up something else in our study. When you think about soldiers in the army, misdeny self, you must also think about the fact that a tight grip is for hitting hard. As I look at the hand of Eliezer, I see one that has done a great deal of hitting. When he took hold of the sword took hold of him. And here was a man that when he went up against the enemy, he held so tightly to the sword that it became embedded in his hand. And the enemy of that day could not be conquered by merely swinging lightly at the opposition. That man had to swing vigorously. That man had to take the sword and go up against the enemy and with might swing the sword. And you know that's true today. We must use the Word of God, the sword, to hit hard the enemies of the Lord. Now, do not misunderstand me. I do not mean be sarcastic. I do not mean be condescending. But what I mean is we need to be direct with the truth. That there are times when you must get a grip on the sword and the sword will get a grip on you and you speak forthrightly. You know, the men in every sermon hit hard when you read in the New Testament days. When you look in the book of Acts in the second chapter, when the Apostle Peter's preaching, he spoke directly and forthrightly to the people. He hit hard. Now, he did so out of love. But what did he tell the people in Acts 2:36? You crucified the Christ. Now, that's speaking directly. Now, did he do it out of condescension? No. Did he do it with an attitude of sarcasm? No. He did it out of love so they'd see their sin and repent and obey the gospel. When pointing out sins of the flesh in our day, sometimes we need to just spell it out. I'm fearful that many are like the politician in Chicago. They asked one time after he got done with the speech, he looked at one of his helpers and he said, "In all the excitement, I sure hope I didn't make myself plain." And I think some preachers are that way. They don't make it plain. But open your Bible to the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter. In Galatians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul was writing, and he's talking about the works of the flesh, notice that he gives a list and he is direct about it. He said, "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, Paul, you're pretty direct there. That's right. Now, Paul, why are you so direct? He said you have to hit hard with the truth. That the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, it's interesting, my friend, in Acts 2, when they heard the Word of God, it said they were cut to the heart and they obeyed the gospel. They were hit hard and their heart was pricked and they obeyed the Word. But if you take your Bible, notice the sword is two-edged. Some people, when they hear the truth, they're cut to the heart, but they act in a completely different way. Look, if you will, in the book of Acts and the 7th chapter. In the book of Acts in the 7th chapter, Stephen had preached a direct sermon. He held hard to the Word of God. He hit directly with the sword. And notice what is said in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Just like the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:37 were cut to the heart, they were cut to the heart. But the people on the day of Pentecost, when they were cut to the heart, said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now in Acts 7, when they were cut to the heart, did they do the same thing? Oh no. They gnashed at him with their teeth. And they took him out of the city and stoned him. You know, some people, their heart is cut, but instead of obeying the gospel, they're going to deny it and they're going to persecute you for preaching the truth. But you know, my friend, that doesn't mean you let loose of the sword. You hold on to the Word of God. You hold on to what God has given us in the proclamation of truth. Now then, when you think about the people of that day, you think about they preaching with direct truth. That means that they didn't just get up and tell joke after joke and they didn't tell story after story. Now, there's nothing wrong with telling a joke in a sermon, and there's nothing wrong with telling an illustration. But I'll tell you, if we tell more jokes and more stories and have fewer scripture, then we are missing the sword. The power is in the Word of God. We must hit hard with the sword about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'll tell you why I think sometimes we're losing people. We have not been direct in our preaching. But that brings up something else. We need to keep a tight grip to the end. When I look at that man Eliezer, I see a man that had a tight grip on the sword even till the end. And I think about other people in the Bible, Moses, who held on to the end, Joshua, Abraham. And then we read about Stephen, as we mentioned a moment ago, and the ones around the throne that had been beheaded for the testimony of Christ. Look in your Bible in the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter. And when you look in Revelation chapter 20, look if you will, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who's the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. Now that's symbolic language, but come down a little bit, but come down to verse 4, notice what he said. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ. Here were people who had been beheaded for the cause of Christ. They kept a tight grip to the sword to the end. Now, I pity the day that we look at people and we do not see them holding on to the sword and holding on to the end. I tell you, I admire people who are older in the faith. I admire people who have held on to their faith for years. And I pity the day that we look at older people and say, their day's over, just use them a little bit here and there. No, we need to look at their wisdom and use them. You think about Paul. He was called Paul the Aged. Look in 2 Timothy 4 as we bring our lesson to a close at what this man of God had to say. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, he said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. I like that statement. Notice that Paul, he didn't go around telling everybody how bad he'd been treated. Here he is in prison. You know, we're concerned about our isolation. Can you imagine Paul in prison in Rome, knowing that he is about to be put to death? And look at his attitude. I have fought a good fight. You know what Paul's doing? His hand is still cleaving to the sword. We have the sword God has given us. We need to keep a good, tight grip on it. In this time that we are isolated from one another, I'll tell you something. One thing we need to do is make sure that we hold tightly to the Word of God. It will help us through the adversity of daily living. It'll help us through feeling lonely. It will help us to see God cares for us. And when we hold tightly to the Word of God, we have a sword to fight the enemy. We have a sword that helps us to see that we're to deny ourselves and to hit hard with the truth because we love the souls of people. Let's conclude with a prayer. Our Father, as we think about Eliezer holding tight to the sword, may we keep a tight grip on Your Word. May we hold tightly to Your truth and may we live it every day. May we, Father, hit hard with the truth, not out of sarcasm or condescension, but out of love that people may see their sin and repent and be obedient to Your will. We pray that You help us at O'Neill to be the kind of people that hold tight to Your Word. And may we always treasure it and lay it up in our heart, as the psalmist said. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to thank you for studying with us.